today, taken from John chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. John chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. John the Baptist exalts Christ. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Enon, near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man cannot receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Repeat the last verse. "Therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure and privilege to be here this morning on Lord's Day to stand before you to proclaim the word from the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, spiritual hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It certainly sounds like you wanted to sing this morning. We thank God for the song leader and those who have officiated thus far. We give God thanks for our worship and pray that it will rise to him as a sweet smelling savor. We say welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. The Church of Christ here in Leicester extends a warm Christian welcome to you. We want to invite and encourage you to come back as often as you can, and that we will give you a warm Christian welcome. We also want you to be like the Bereans were in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, where the Bible says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things are so or were so. That is your personal responsibility to get book, chapter, and verse. Regardless of who is speaking, you must get a word from the Lord. He said also in Colossians 3, 17, that we must do it all in the name of the Lord. And if what you have heard is God's word, that the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 4, let God be true and every man a liar. We thank God for his blessings because God is through much of us on Sunday morning. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. We are also mindful that this is the seventh month that we have been in this building. 7 months have passed, and God is still in the blessing business. And we pray that he will continue to bless us above, exceedingly above, for all that we ask or think, according to what we believe in Christ Jesus. We serve a great God. We serve a great God. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited because that says to me that even whatever I think or pray for, God can give us and give me and you more than we even think. The message this morning is taken from the Gospel of John chapter 3, Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse number 22. John, chapter 3, and verse number 22. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It is here in your Bible, and my Bible reads and teaches, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John was also baptized in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John, verse 24, had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you had testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him.' John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven.' Verse 28 says, 'You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom stands and hears him. Rejoices greatly because of this, because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled.'" Verse number 30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It is from verse number 30 that we extract this morning's lesson titled, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Church, we are in the season in the world where many next week will get disappointed. Many next week will get disappointed for a variety of reasons. Rather their relationships, rather people come together, I don't care whether it's in the church or in the home, or in the workplace, we will have some problems. Pride was a bait Satan used to tempt Eve when he set aside what God had said and assured her that if she ate of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, she would be like God in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Whenever I sin, whenever you sin, I and you am arrogantly asserting that I know better than God knows what is best for me. Thus, as Christians, we must constantly battle pride and grow in humility. And if you think you haven't attained any measure of humility, God hates being proud of your humility. And so we see in John chapter 3, two thriving ministries had come in collision with one another. This was in the region of the Jordan River for baptism, according to verses 22 to 24. And so the Bible says that verse number 25, "There arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. The claim of John's disciples was that Jesus' ministry was growing larger than John's, and they said all are coming to him." This, of course, was an exaggeration, no doubt motivated by their own jealousy on behalf of John himself. Notice what they didn't say in verse number verse 26. "And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan.'" They didn't say Jesus was over there baptizing. They didn't call him the Messiah. They said he who was with you. And so you see sometimes we get jealous, don't we? Huh? Don't we get jealous? Someone has got something that we want or something that we like. And we, instead of being celebrating that thing, we get jealous, don't we? That's the flesh. And so John's response was humility. If anyone else could have fallen into the trap of pride, it would have been John the Baptist himself. Who else in human history, apart from Jesus himself, could have been claimed to be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 15. This man, John the Baptist, was a forerunner, a highway maker, according to Luke chapter 1. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. That's before John. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 17. The Bible says, he will also do before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And in verse 76 of that same chapter, the Bible says, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. He was a highway maker. That was John the Baptist. In Bermuda, where I come from, when Her Majesty the Queen was alive, she would visit Bermuda from time to time. We always knew when the Queen was coming, because the Department of Public and Works would straighten out all the roads and repave, and everywhere she was going to drive, they were going to make sure it was a smooth journey for her. We always knew that somebody was coming, and John the Baptist was like that type of man. He was a highway maker. He enjoyed immediate public popular success in his public ministry, John was, as all Jerusalem, Judea, and those from the surrounding areas were going to him in the wilderness to confess their sins and to be baptized, according to Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Even Jesus testified of John that he was the greatest man in human history, Matthew 11:11. All of these things could have fed the pride of this young prophet and preacher buried in his dirt. You know how we get when folk give us a promotion. When folks start talking about us and they say, but he's doing good things and she's doing good things, there is a danger that pride can get in the way. Because when you think you have arrived, that's when Satan will come and he will tempt you even more. Yet in our text, John gave his disciples us a basic lesson in humility. In the face of Jesus' growing popularity and what, from a human point of view, was his own waning popularity, here John was on his own in the wilderness baptizing. He was having success, and here was Jesus somewhere else, and it would appear that he was overshadowing John. John the Baptist, how would you feel? How would you feel? I'm the one, I've opened up a bakery and I'm selling the what's up cake. You know, everybody's on TikTok with, and my business is going good. And here comes Susie. And Susie is selling the same type of cake I'm selling. How would you feel? Well, some of us will get our back up. Some of us will get jealous. Some of us will turn to ungodly means. Don't act like that you won't feel that way. And so, John simply said in John 3 and verse number 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. To sum up verses 22 through 36, I want us to understand today that in order for Jesus to increase and for us to decrease, that humility must stem from an understanding of who God is and who we are. Humility must stem from an understanding of who God is and who we are. John clearly understood who he was in relation to Christ and was comfortable in his role as a forerunner. And he was comfortable in his own skin. John wasn't concerned, and he was not bothered with promoting himself and or his reputation. He was happy in the presence of the bridegroom. Notice verse 27 of our text in John chapter 3. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. What do we have that we get from heaven? We get success from heaven. God gives you your human understanding, your ability to learn that came from heaven. Whatever gift that you have came from God. But you know what we say? Look what I've done. Oh, look at all my trophies. Huh? We want to promote ourselves. But the scriptures, John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 27, again, says, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Secondly, and notice again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is to help us to understand the diversity of the human body in relation to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 4 says this: there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries or service, but the same Lord. There are, and he says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Let us not forget that. Whatever gift that you have is not for your benefit, it is for the benefit of the body. It is for the benefit of the Lord. Secondly, humility stands from understanding that Jesus is Lord and the Christ. Humility stands from understanding that Jesus is Lord and Christ. John 3. John 3, you know John 3:16. I think we, perhaps all of us have that memorized, but John chapter 3. Verse 28-29 says this: you yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. But I have been sent before him. He who has the bride and the bridegroom and is the bridegroom, but the friends of the bridegroom who stand and hears his voice rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, he says, this joy of mine is for you. John's ministry is the ministry he received from the Lord. His God-given ministry was not to be the Messiah, but to introduce the Messiah. He was a forerunner. Jesus was the fulfillment, the grand finale, as it were. And John illustrates that what he's seen by using the analogy of a marriage. Jesus is a bridegroom. John is the friend of the bridegroom in the context, and the friend of the bridegroom is not distressed when the bridegroom appears at the wedding celebration to take his bride. He is elated. The friend's task, watch this now, the friend's task is to bring the bride and groom together. And when the voice of the groom is heard, the friends of the groom knows that it's mission accomplished. I've done everything that I could to bring these two together. He can rejoice in fulfilling his mission. He can rejoice that the bride and the groom are joined together in marriage. You got to know your role. You are not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. Jesus is Lord. The focus of a wedding is not on the best man, but on the bride and groom. John knew that Jesus was the promised bridegroom and the bride belongs to him. And so John's role was that of the friend of the bridegroom. The problem then, and even today, is that man is so caught up in self-promotion and being popular that we forget about who God is and put all of our energy and attention on focusing on the wrong thing. It's okay to celebrate. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to be joyful. But always remember that the focus should not always be on ourselves. Huh? That's why the sign up front says, the Church of Christ. It is the Church of Christ, and it will not be the Church of Christ unless and until it becomes a church like Christ. Amen. Jesus himself even understood that it was not about him, it was about pleasing the Father in heaven. He must increase, but I must decrease. Exalting self is our problem instead of exalting God. Number three, humility stems from understanding that I am not the Christ. People were wondering if John was the Christ, which he clearly denied in John chapter 1 and verse number 20. He said, I am not the Christ. And here in John 3:28, he says, you yourselves are my witnesses. I am not the Christ, for I have been sent ahead of him. You must say that yourself. We must say that ourselves. I am not the Christ. How many times do you and I say are in the same? And you have to stop and think. I want you to stop and consider how many times you and I say are in the same. I need, I want, I deserve. He must increase. The I's must decrease. So, one of the basic lessons that we must all learn is that God is God and that I am not God. When things don't go the way I want, I have to learn to bow and acknowledge that God, you are God and I am not God. You can make plans, you can pray, you can make decisions, but you're still not God. Because he has the exclusive right to intercede and overrule all of your wants. Amen. Because everything that you want is not what you need. I didn't make an amen, but that's all right. Amen, Brother Smith. That sure is true. Everything that you want is not what you need. And what you need, sometimes you don't want it. Amen. And so what is the solution to pride? What is the solution to pride? It's humility. But I want you to understand, church, that humility comes at a price. Humility comes at a price. How do you know that? Because John the Baptist himself eventually ended up in prison. He eventually ended up in prison. We started that in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. All of my gifts, all of my abilities, all of my opportunities come from God by his grace. Everything that I have is by God's grace. Do you have a sound mind? That came from God who wants you to use it for his purpose and glory. Do you have money? That came from God. He wants you to use it for his purpose and glory. Do you have a ministry or service or a place of work or service for the Lord? That too came from God who wants you to use it for his purpose and glory. The ministry, the work that you have is not yours. And as I tried to communicate to you, when you and I go to work, we're not to go to work for ourselves. We go to work to be like Jesus. Jesus said, go into all the world. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians. So as you're going into the world, your job is to preach the gospel. You are to be Christ to your neighbor, to your co-worker, to your enemy. Amen. You are to let your light shine. Remember that song, this is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go. He must increase, but I must decrease. I must be Jesus in my pajamas. I must be Jesus in my suit. I must be Jesus in the bakery. I must be Jesus everywhere I go. Because people are watching. People are watching. And as one sister said, if not who you see, it's who sees you. Amen. That's what mama used to say. My mama used to say to me, listen, I'm leaving. You are to stay in the yard. And if, listen, if you go out of this yard, see me before I see you. Huh? See me before I see you. Huh? And mama had eyes in the back of her head, said, somebody told me they saw you over something. It wasn't me, mama. Yes, they did. Huh? I said, how did she know that? Because mama knew. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so, John knew he was a forerunner to the Messiah, also sought to fulfill that ministry which you received from the Lord, how? With humility. Success in ministry and life does not necessarily mean the largest following. Huh? A church is not successful because it has more members than another church. Amen. Your ministry is not more successful because you've got more people in that ministry than someone else. That's not what makes it successful. Sometimes you can be busy doing nothing. Amen. Is it spiritual business? And I'm going to give you this for free. It's not a ministry if it's not doing one of these three things. If it's not gaining a soul, if it's not growing in the faith, and if it's not glorifying God, that's not a ministry. Amen. That's what we're here for. He must increase, but I must decrease. This was John's disciples' concern. They were concerned about numbers. He is over there baptizing more folk than you, John. John didn't get caught up in that trap. You remember, Jesus' ministry was increasing and John's ministry was decreasing. This was cause for concern, and there was, and John's call, this was cause for concern for John's disciples, but this was cause for great joy for John himself. John was concerned with building a greater following for John, but rather a following for Jesus. What about you? What are you most concerned about right now? Man, he better get a little down because I've got to get to the restaurant before the Baptist get over there. Huh? Some offense, are you concerned about some offense right now? Or some disappointment? Or some great unmet desire or expectation for yourself or someone else? Or should you be more concerned about the cause for Christ? Is Christ glorified in this decision that I'm about to make? Is God more concerned about what I'm doing right now? I want you to know, I'm going to speak to you personally, because I'm up here right now, again. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I'm not concerned about this congregation. And I pray that you are too. How can we be doing better? Spiritually. Amen. What can I do? There are not enough hours in the day. Paul, the Apostle Paul, talked about how he was burdened for the church in Corinth. Huh? Man, people are hurting. Are you hurting too? Man, people are joyful. Are you joyful too? He must increase, but I must decrease. Sometimes a man's disciples are more zealous for his reputation than he is. And also, church, we need to understand that success in ministry is to exalt Christ and bring others to do the same. Humility recognizes that I am expendable, and my role is God's work. In God's work is temporary, like a sunrise and a sunset. You ever seen on the tune, they say, sunrise is the day we're born, and all of us will have a sunset. Did you know that? Humility recognizes that I'm not going to be here forever. On your job, you may think that your job can't operate without you, but you just keep on thinking. Because somebody was there before you got there, and when you're gone, somebody's going to be there to replace you. But nobody cares. Nothing happens without me. That's what you think. John chapter 3, verse 24 says, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Well, later he goes with every reading in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. He was thrown into prison for telling Herod the tetrarch that his marriage to Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, was unlawful. And when he was thrown into prison, it's easy to wonder about God's sovereignty over his ruling plans. John himself began to wonder as he sat in prison. People shooting just like you and me. He said, some disciples, to ask Jesus, are you the Christ? Or should I be looking for another? That's the shooting stuff. We get discouraged, don't we? I know I get discouraged every once in a while. You start doubting yourself. Was it all worth it? Is Jesus really the Christ? He sent some of them to Jesus in Matthew 11, 3. Are you the coming or expected one, or do we look for another? In other words, if you're the Messiah, why don't you get your forerunner out of this mission today? Jesus replied in Matthew 11, 4 through 6, go and report, or go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached them, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Are you offended by Jesus? But we question, don't we? We get those days sometimes, you know, I didn't sign up for this. That's what John was saying. It is important to remember that being a faithful servant of the Lord does not guarantee a trouble-free life. John the Baptist was faithful. God appointed forerunner of the Messiah, but he got thrown into prison and had his hair cut off. in his early 30s. We too aren't guaranteed long lives or impressive results in our ministry. The Lord could take me out of the picture today, and his work would go right on according to his plan. He owes you nothing. He owes me nothing. It is our great joy if he uses us in some way to exalt Christ and bring others to him too. He must increase. I must decrease. God did not promise us a mansion here on earth. He didn't promise us a crown here on earth. He didn't even promise us a title here on earth. The doctor, reverend. No, he didn't promise us anything. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But he made them a promise. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Another house down here. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. That promise was for John, and that promise was for you too. But while we're here on earth, this is our time to exercise humility. He must increase, but I must decrease. Last week, I was watching on the National Geographic Channel a story about a young man. He was 22 years old. He went up to Mount Everest about 23 years ago. He reached the summit and died there. And his body fell over a cliff, and he never recovered his body. His brother came along afterwards and took a search party to look for that young man. He went, the weather became bad, and they sent out searchers. They call them Sherpas. These are the men in Nepal that take folk up onto the mountain. They went and looked. They found four bodies in the snow. And none of those three bodies were this man's brother. But they found the man in the snow. And they said that it became too snowy, so they had to call it off. And the brother that was searching for his brother said, well, what will we do? They said, we'll come back next year and look for this man, or look for this young man. And he called his mother, and the mother was crying and said, we didn't find Phil. Didn't find Phil. And the mother said, listen, that's just his body, but it's not his soul. That's just his body, it's not his soul. And the brother said, they knew of one person on that mountain that they could, if they could not find his brother Philip, that we can go up there and get that man that we were able to identify and reunite him with his family. They went and found that man's family in Nepal. And they said, if we can bring your son home, your brother home, would you like us to do that? And they said, yes, let's do that. What was that, church? That's humility. Listen, if I can't do something good for myself, I can do something good for somebody else. And they brought that man's body down from that mountain. And they were able to have a funeral finally some years later. He must increase. See, success may not come in the way that you think it will come. God may not bless us the way we think he will bless us. Your life may not become what you think. But as long as Jesus is glorified, church, he must increase. I must increase. How can God get the glory in whatever you're going through right now? If you're here today, you're not a Christian. You can become a Christian by doing five simple things. You must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Number two, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins, as John 3:16. You must also repent of your sins, as Luke 13:3-5. Number four, you must confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10:9-10. And number five, you must complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15-16, Acts 22:16, and many other passages of scripture. And for those of us who are Christians, more news. 2023 has been an eventful year.
but it's not over yet. Because Jesus may come today. Jesus may come this afternoon on your way home. Jesus may come tonight before you get a chance to unwrap whatever presents. Amen. Next week, they'll make plans for next week. But you don't have to leave here without Jesus. The Baptist, listen, the Baptist is right here. I'm standing on it. The baptistry is ready. The clothes are ready. But the question is, are you ready? And for those of us who are Christians, if you're going through something right now, you need prayer. Listen. James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man. Of being one. We need prayer. I need prayer. The world needs prayer. If you need prayer, Lord, I'm going through something right now and I need help. You don't even know what you need help from. Just come to Jesus. If you just want to give God thanks, because He's a good God. Don't wait until something happens to appreciate how good God is. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, the evil of these two mates, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.